ancient Israel saw the mighty works of God. They saw water come out of a flinty rock. They saw it. They saw a pillar of fire. I've never seen a pillar of fire. Amen. They saw a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They saw Moses go to the tent of meeting and that pillar of fire go over there where he was, and God talked mouth to mouth with God. They saw all of that stuff. And then when they come up against Jericho's walls, amen, and they come up against fenced cities, they come up against giants in the land, they said, our God must hate us to bring us out in the wilderness to die. Can you say amen? With all that they saw, and the scripture said they saw his wonders, but Moses knew his ways. Can you say amen? He knew God on a personal, intimate level. And the revival we need, amen, is a revival that is simply a joyous celebration and appreciation of what it means to be saved. If that one ever catches fire among Christians in all denominations, where God restores unto us, Psalm 51, David said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Can you say amen? And that was the last thing he asked for. Creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. There's repentance. There's cleansing. He said, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And the last thing he mentioned was, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. In the old covenant, it was God's delivering power demonstrated and displayed. And every Christian in this room is a living witness to God's delivering, miracle working power. Can you say amen? Restore the joy of that to us. Then, when the world sees us rejoicing, not because we're millionaires or billionaires or because we're the top of the CEO list. No, we're rejoicing because our sins forgiven, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then shall sinners be converted unto you, and transgressors will learn thy ways. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When the church gets her joy back, the world's going to sit up and take notice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's love on him today. That's my little prophetic bit this morning. Hallelujah. We're getting ready in a moment to receive our offering. I'm going to ask Bob Stone to come, if he will, just a minute, just to say a word before we move into the offering and head toward Holy Communion. We don't have to preach a whole lot. God is speaking through this entire service today. But I've learned to appreciate my brother, and I've learned to appreciate how we interact with one another. I came in one morning, and I had the burden of so much on me. There's a word I use called the mully grubs. I don't know if you've ever heard that word. It's when you really just have you in view because of the pressure or the pain or whatever you're going through. It kind of pushes God and Jesus to the sideline, and it just, you know, when you're sharing about your needs, you're kind of leaving God out of the picture. Well, you know, when we come together and we're supposed to help each other get that focus back, not just help each other get deeper down in the dumps. And I remember one moment God used my brother to speak to me. God used him to speak to me, and I felt the authority. Now, I didn't feel like a preacher giving me counsel. I felt God's authority coming through Bob. And I listened because I knew I was hearing from the Lord. And Bob will tell you right quick, we're just people. At least that's what he's told us at the meeting. Can you say amen? Amen. He'll tell you that we're just guys. We're guys with anointing. He's pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church in Valrico. I'm pastor you have to figure out this church, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call us. Amen. But we're here in this place. But above all, we're men who God has saved and he has sanctified, set apart, give us a calling, but we're men first and foremost. And he brought it to my attention. Where's God? Where's God? And I needed it. I needed somebody to remind me, the preacher, to get my focus on the Lord. Because that burden, the more I talk about me without him, just what I'm going through, the heavier the load gets, and the deeper I stoop under it. And so I can't really minister what we're about to minister for just a little while before Holy Communion today without giving thanks to the Lord for being part of a pastor's meeting where we hold each other accountable for some things. And one of the things is that we keep Jesus in view. Amen. I thank God for my brother letting God use him that morning, because I went away from there with my burden lifted, Jesus back in my focus, and I needed somebody to give me the nudge. Hallelujah. So God bless Bob Stone today. Amen.
Well, you have an awesome pastor here. He is an awesome man. I don't know how good he preaches. I'm fixing to hear that. Yeah. Then I could talk about him Tuesday when we go there. So. Yeah. But I know him as a man.
Yeah.
And he's an awesome man. He's an awesome brother, because we do talk about things that we can't talk about with our wives, or definitely can't talk about with our parishioners. Yeah. But when we do, we lift each other up. We don't tear each other down.
Right.
So it's been my privilege to know Brother Bob. And it's easy. I can never forget his name or his wife's name, because I'm Bob and my wife is Pam. So
yeah. If
I forget his wife's name, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
But it's been an awesome thing. And, you know, it's nice that God worked it out where I could come to y'all's church today. Because I wanted to come. And I tell my people, I'm probably the most radical Baptist preacher you ever see.
Yeah, he is.
I love
true.
Shouting. I love raising my hands. And I don't mind moving my legs a few times and putting my hands up. In fact, my pulpit probably isn't big enough sometimes when I get going around there. But see, that's the thing, that we let ourselves go. And that's what we as men and part of the pro pastors do on Tuesday morning. We let ourselves go. We forget about being pastors, and we become as brothers in Christ, serving and ministering to one another.
Yeah.
So, like I say, it's been my privilege to know Brother Bob as my brother, your pastor.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
I
appreciate it.
I love you a lot.
Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bob Stone. I think it's great that a Baptist and Pentecostal can actually find ground at the foot of the cross where we can put all of that aside and say, it's all about Jesus. Can you say amen? And so praise the Lord for that today. We're in a unique relationship. And two other brothers with us that I hope will come. And I'm just praying that God will continue to bless us to come together about this thing called revival. I'm centered in that, and I want to see it happen. We're getting ready to receive our offering right now. We're going to have an offering song that's going to just, I'm going to share a few scriptures on the theme of this particular communion, which is really the theme, foundational theme for every communion service and Lord's Supper, and that is the gratitude of our heart for what he's done for us at the cross. Amen. It's more than an attitude of gratitude. It has to go beyond that. It has to be acted out. It has to be part of our daily life and our response to Calvary's love. So how many remember Star Wars? It's okay. It's not unspiritual. Amen. Some of the better science fiction out there. When the trilogy was re-released several years ago, there was an additional computer-generated footage that was not included in the original version. Here's how the advertisement reads, and I'm going to quote it. Star Wars, see it for the first time. In other words, until you've seen it digitally reproduced, you've never seen it in all of its fullness and all of its glory. It's going to be watched. You know the story of Star Wars, but the marketing thing was, if you see it now, reprocessed, it'll be like seeing it for the first time. Amen? Well, the cross is something we need to see over and over and over again. We need to see the cross this morning like we're seeing it for the first time. Not something that we get over, something that's a given, looking for something else to happen. No, we need to see the cross like we're seeing it for the first time. And if we do that, amen, you know what is rekindled in our heart? It's something called the first love. Amen. The first love is rekindled in our heart. When the first love is rekindled in our heart, everything, and I mean everything, falls into place in our life. God is glorified, and we can serve him acceptably. So as we pray over this offering and we receive this offering, we're going to begin a song that's going to set the tone for this communion service today. And I'll give it to you. Did I already do that? I didn't, but I will. Amen. Brother Sean, would you ask the blessing today on gift and giver in Jesus' name? ministry here will go up onto the website. It will go to nations. One of the nations that comes to our website is the United Kingdom. And this song is from a church in the United Kingdom getting ready for Holy Communion. Sing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering today. It's how they worship God in the United Kingdom for salvation. I want to read two verses of scripture from Psalm 103 very quickly as we move toward communion. This is David's incentive for blessing the Lord. Amen. I love Psalm 103 because it gives us a constant, consistent incentive to praise God for all He's done for us. And David simply said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." He goes on to say, "Who forgives all of thine iniquities." Everybody say, top shelf. That's number one. God's got it in a sequential order of importance here. And it doesn't start with deliverance. It doesn't start with healing. Those things follow that. But it begins with the forgiveness of sin. The greatest act of God, the greatest gift that we can receive. Talk about a gift that keeps on giving. This gift is going to keep on giving throughout all eternity, age without end. Praise God. Amen. Many people go after the power, and there's power to be had. Amen. There's power to be had because the scripture said that he baptized us with the Holy Ghost and with power, dunamis, miracle working ability. There's power and authority in the name of Jesus. Behold, I give you power and authority. I gave you over all the power of the devil or the enemy. There's power to be acquired. There's power to live a holy life. Can you say amen by His Spirit within us? But when He gave the apostles power and authority through His name, and they went out, 70 of them went out, and they began to cast out devils in His name. Amen. The scripture said that they came back rejoicing in the power that they now possessed. And they said, "Demons are subject unto us." And Jesus said, "Don't rejoice over that. That's not top shelf. Don't rejoice that demons are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your names are written down in heaven." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said that's the reason for consistent rejoicing. Amen? Amen? We're Pentecostal here, so we can kind of be hard on ourselves this morning. Sometimes people have legitimate reasons for criticizing us because we seem to get excited about things to do with powerful manifestations rather than what Christ has done for us at the cross. Amen. And God has chastised me many times for emphasizing power over the person who died for me. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you've got all this power within you by the Holy Spirit and you don't have the joy of your salvation, and you don't have the peace of God reigning in your heart, can you say, man, that power is stagnant in your life. It's not flowing through your life. Can you say, man? So the Bible said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities." Everybody say, all of mine iniquities. Hallelujah. I love that song by Glad. "Every sin that I've rejoiced and be glad for every sin that I've ever had has been wiped away or washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad." The scripture said to serve the Lord with gladness, all ye lands. Enter His gates, thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Come before His presence with singing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's progressive. His courts with what? What begins the whole process? Thankfulness. An attitude of gratitude in the heart. Deuteronomy is a telling scripture to ancient Israel because it said, "If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all that I command you, these blessings will come upon you and they will overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when you go out, blessed when you come in." I like the idea of blessings chasing me instead of me chasing blessings. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A lot of people chasing blessings. God said, if you'll really get thoroughly right with me and serve me with the right attitude, not just do the act of obedience, but do it from the heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, these blessings will come on you and they shall overtake you. Can you say amen? And blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy fields. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy... I mean, it's just everywhere you turn. City, blessed shall be in the city. If you're city folk, if you live out at the Notasassa like Bob Stone, God's blessing will find you out there in the country. Can you say amen? Whether you're in the city or in the field, God's blessings will come on you. They will overtake you. But if you don't hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, it's like flipping the coin over. And you take all of those blessings and turn them into curses. Cursed thou shalt be in the city. Cursed thou shalt be in the... Oh, by the way, this involves nations as well. Does America need a revival? Do we need to come back to God? Do we need to be thankful for what He's done and bow before Him again to show that thing? See, the Bible said, and I'll make you the head part of those blessings and not the tail. And listen to this, thou shalt lend to many nations and thou shalt not borrow. We got a national debt from borrow. We're borrowing from people that not only don't love us, they don't even like us. But they like the interest on the loans that they've given us. And we're multi-trillions of dollars in debt to places like China. Amen? We're not the head anymore. We're becoming the tail. We're the borrower and not the lender. And there are people out there preaching how blessed, you know, the blessings are just falling. No, they're not. We're in a nation in crisis, and we need a revival, amen, of repentance and returning to God. Hallelujah. And if it happens, God will restore the blessing. These blessings will come on you, and they will overtake you, praise God. Controversially, if we do not hearken to His voice, and it's not, I want you to understand Deuteronomy here, because there's a key verse that separates that chapter 28. Why the blessings were not coming. It was not just the disobedience alone. It was a matter of the heart attitude. And there was a reason for the disobedience. It said, if you don't disobey me, if you don't obey me, if you don't hearken unto my voice, these curses will come on you. And they'll find you. And they'll overtake you. To national Israel in covenant with God, He said, blessing and cursing. I put two ways before you. There's no middle ground here. It's either blessing or cursing. There's no place, there's no wiggle room. Amen. God wants us blessed today. God wants this nation blessed today. God wants your life and family blessed today. Amen. These blessings will find you. But listen to this. If you hearken, if you do not hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all that I command you, these curses shall come on you and they shall overtake you. And the reason for the disobedience was something that many people take for granted every day. It said, because thou servest not the Lord with gladness of heart for all that He has given you. Can you say amen? God's not just looking for religious, regimented obedience. He's looking for something that doesn't just begin in our behavior, but it begins in our attitude of our heart. Amen? Remember what the Bible... Well, I've told you a story about Johnny many times. I always use the little Johnny stories because Sunday school classes and school teachers get those little Johnnies and little Jeremiahs and little whoever's, and little Johnny is acting up, and she tells him, she said, Johnny, I want you to go and stand in the corner until I tell you that you can go back to your seat. So obediently, because he's afraid of being sent to the principal or a note going home, he goes and he puts his head in the corner. Amen. And then under his breath, she heard him say, I'm still sitting down on the inside. Can you say amen? So she's got his obedience out of fear, but she doesn't have his heart in agreement. God wants more than your obedience out of fear. He wants your heart. He wants to capture your heart. If a man love me, what's he going to do? He'll keep my commandments and listen. It won't make him look like he's baptized in pickle juice. Can you say amen? Or vinegar. Amen. He will keep my commandments and listen. They will not be grievous unto him. It won't be like you're in some kind of religious box because you're finally acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I enjoy following him. Amen. David said, I will run the way of thy commandments. I won't hesitate and look at this as some task. This is a joyous journey that I'm on. Thy word is a what? It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my pathway. Praise God. Amen. And he said, I will delight myself in the Lord my God. Amen. And the Bible said, here's that blessing clause. Delight yourself in the Lord your God. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because they will not be selfish desires. Amen. How many remember when you first got married? Those of you that are married. Amen.
We got some here that don't want to remember that, but that's okay. We'll bypass you and go to the other folk here. Some people said, I don't even go there, preacher. I don't want to go there today. But how many are, all right, let's put it this way. How many here are glad you're married? And all the wives are looking at their husbands for an affirmation here. Amen. How many years again? 23. How many years, Bob? 42. How many years for us, Sister Venable? Going on 48. Next one will be 48. Or 49. Next one will be 49. But that's a lot of years to calculate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many years, Sean? There you go. You better get it right. Yeah. 16. There's something called the sweetheart love. The Bible calls it the first love. And God is so concerned that we get that right and we hold it and we maintain it. Amen. That He absolutely says to us that if we lose the first love and we don't get concerned enough to try to get it back, Jesus said, I will come to you quickly and I'll remove your lampstand. In other words, you're going to have your religious service, you're going to have church, but your influence, there's something about the insincerity of people singing songs and it not coming from the heart. Saying the right words, but it not, nobody can feel it in their heart. I remember the first person I led to Jesus Christ, I remember his name was Larry Messenger. And he was a Baptist. He could have been any denomination, but he happened to be a Baptist guy. He went to a Baptist church. He had been baptized in water because you can't be a Baptist and not be baptized, and you should be baptized. Amen. But he was baptized in water, and he was the good guy, and I was the bad guy. He was the morally good guy. He was a good guy. He was a clean, living man, and he was in church every Sunday. I remember when I got saved. When I got saved, it made news without me saying a word because I wasn't the good guy. I was the bad guy. And when I got saved, I mean, I'm not going to tell you all we did. I could start telling you some things we did. But how many were lost before you got saved? How many know the things you do when you're lost before you get saved? We won't even have to go there. But I remember coming in on a Sunday night because I worked a night shift, and I came in after a Sunday night church service. It was one of those, you know, when God comes down and kisses the earth and we're right in the middle of the smack. It was one of those kind of Holy Ghost services and Spirit of God moving. And I came in. I was just, I prayed in the car. I had been worshiping. I couldn't wait to get in the presence of God again, and I had to get out and clock in. And I remember at first break, that first week, that I was on the job as a saved man. This guy, that's a church guy, amen, he came out of the break room. I was standing out on the dock because it's so full of smoke in the break room, and I didn't smoke anymore. That's one of the things the Lord helped me get delivered from. And it's amazing that I loved it so much, and now it's just, you know, God had to do it in me, and some people it's quick, some people it's unknowing. But anyway, God will set you free if you want to be, and I wanted to be, and He set me free. I was standing outside, and of all the people in that room, Larry came out. And Larry came out and he said, Bob, I got to talk to you. I said, what about, Larry? He said, I saw something in your eyes. I saw something. I need to talk to you. Can you come to my home tomorrow night? I thought, okay, good. You know, Larry's a good friend. We'll go over to his house and I'll be with the Christian brother. But when I got to his house, he said, will you come back here? I want to talk to you privately. We went back in the bedroom and he stood there and tears began to stream down his cheek. And he said, I've been raised in church. I've been baptized in water. But he said, I can't say that I've ever met Jesus Christ personally. And he began to weep and said, I want to know him. I want to know him like you know him. Well, what made him think that I knew him better than he did? He's been in church all this time. It had to be something in the heart that was speaking. It can't just be religion. It wasn't enough. He wanted to know the Lord. Amen. There's something called a relationship where if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. You're not saved by works. Don't get me wrong. But when you are saved, it's got to make a difference. to know Jesus as your Savior. And so many people are satisfied with just going to church. And that didn't help me down through all. My dad drugged me to church, and I'm glad he did, because I drug my kids too. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. One thing I know, wherever they went, there's some seed in there for God to water. Train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, somewhere, sometime, God is going to water that seed. Praise God. I had my son call me the other day. He's a PK, a preacher's kid. They're under heavy pressure all the time to be great. And he took off. He flew the coop at 16 years old. I couldn't say much to him because I did the same thing when I turned 16. My wife was 14 when we married. I was 16. I didn't rob the cradle. I jumped in it with Pamela. And we were both kids. Can you say amen? And we've got going on 49 years of marriage coming up. And it's good. She says it's good, so I know it's got to be good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our marriage was about to bust all of that pressure, responsibility on people that didn't even have time to have fun yet, hardly. And yet, when we came to Jesus, it changed because Jesus changed us on the inside. Praise God. Hallelujah. And He made us one. He made us one. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may have a failed marriage here, but I'm going to tell you, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. God is still on the throne, serving with gladness of heart for what you do have. Can you say, man, well, what do I have? You've got salvation. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life long after this world has passed away and everything in it and become brand new. Amen. You'll be living in that heavenly New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Amen. With all of your loved ones and with Christ. That's got to outweigh everything else in your life at some point. Amen. Nobody can do anything against you that should be influence you like what Jesus has done for you at the cross. Can you say amen? Serving with what in the heart? Gladness of heart for the abundance of all things that He's given you. I like the old covenant scripture where Isaiah says, come, let us reason together on behalf of God. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. No. It starts in the heart. Not in the activity. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be destroyed by the sword. The hedge will come down. The enemy will be able to defraud you, defeat you. But if you serve me from a heart of gratitude, and it's genuine and it's real, and you're happy to serve me, I don't want to just wind you up like a robot and teach you how to practice your religion. I want your heart. God has always wanted your heart. The law was only a schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus Christ. And you know what God wanted out of the Gentile believers? He said, here's these Gentile believers serving God wholeheartedly, because when they love God and love one another, they keep the whole law. And they're not even trying to. But it's just coming. And said, I want to provoke the Jews that are trying to keep the law and failing miserably to jealousy, because the Gentiles are doing by nature that is contained in the law. Can you say amen? From their heart. Everybody say loving God, and loving one another. Praise God. That's a different approach to obedience, isn't it? It's out of joy. It's out of gladness of heart for what? The abundance of all things. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And how much? How much you got in there? How much you got in there? All. Have you got any more to give to God? Can you live your life enthusiastically for the Lord?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Can serving God be such a joy? Listen, whom having not seen, you love.
Yeah.
With joy unspeakable and full of glory. We talked about the wonder of the cross on this song. Don't let me lose that wonder. Remember when you first got married? Wow. And dating even. I mean, looked like a two-headed person sitting in the car. I know what Bob would say to his Pam. He'd say, if she's not sitting beside me, guess who moved? Can you say amen? She scooted over because I got to drive.
Amen.
He's trying to find a way out of it. Amen. But I know she drives sometime, and I don't think I've ever seen a man scoot over next to the lady that's driving. It's usually the other way around. Remember Sweetheart Love? I lived in Mango. Mango. I went to Mango School. She lived in Brandon. And when I was in high school dating her in junior high school, I would take her bus home. She didn't just live in Brandon. She lived almost to Valrico, where that departure line is between Brandon. I mean, just a little where from where we turned to your house to going to his church in Valrico. I rode the bus home. And I stayed with her. Your bus home, yeah. And I stayed with her as long as I could. I ate with her and her dad and her brother and her sister. And she cooked for them, and I just wanted to be around her. I wanted some sugar before I left. And it was worth the trip. Listen, I didn't just ride the bus to her house. I didn't have a bicycle or a motorcycle or an automobile. I had to hoof it. Sometimes I caught a ride. Sometimes it was dark, way after dark when I got home. I walked from Brandon to Mango. How in love. I didn't even see it as a sacrifice. Looking back now, I'm thinking, are you crazy? That's a long... I don't mean that I don't love her, but you know, I mean, there's got to be a better way. That's a long, long walk. But then it wasn't anything because there was love there. And I didn't see it as a sacrifice. Have you ever heard this? Offer the sacrifice of praise. I don't feel like praising God. I don't want to praise God. I feel bad, but you know, I'm going to be big and give him some praise. No, the sacrifice of praise is when praise becomes more than something you mouth. It's something that originates in the heart. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Then enter his courts with praise. Hallelujah. And then put the vocal to it. Then enter, come before his presence with singing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I didn't see it as a sacrifice to walk home. I saw it as an opportunity to show how much I wanted to be with that lady right there. Hallelujah. That's the nature of love. You don't see serving God as some sacrificial thing where you're being deprived of something. You see it as an opportunity, amen, to say thank you with your life. Listen to this. I beseech you by the mercies of God, Paul said. I don't want you to do this just out of an act of obedience. I want you to do it from a genuine, authentic love and appreciation, reciprocating love to him. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. That term reasonable service in the Greek actually connotates your true spiritual worship. In other words, worship isn't just something you do during a song service. It's something that involves our whole life attitude and activity. It's when we leave here in serving with joy that we're true worshipers. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he said, which is your true spiritual worship, which is your reasonable service. And be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or exemplify what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. And all of this total obedience, when I offer my body, it's the container for my soul and my spirit. I'm offering him the whole of me. All that I am and all that I have, and I'm glad to offer him my life. And he said the reason to do that is not just because he demands it, but because he deserves it. Because he doesn't start by saying, just do it. Amen. He starts by saying, I beseech you by the mercies of God. He's pointing squarely at the cross, and he's challenging the church to say, what's that worth to you? Can you say, man, what's it worth to you? It ought to be worth everything you are, everything you have, and it ought to stimulate a thankful heart. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. So what is God asking for? He said, I want to bless you, Israel. I really want to bless you nationally and personally, but I need your obedience, but I need more than that. I need it to come from a willing heart. And what produces a willing heart? When we are filled with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. I'm not going to read all those scriptures. I'll give you Deuteronomy 28, but I want to read you this little story about thanksgiving. I'm going to read you an email from the Stone residents. I hope you remember what you sent me, because I'm going to read it today. Hallelujah. Bob don't know anything about what comes in email from his house, even though it says it's from him. Amen. His wife does all that technical stuff. He's the preacher man. Yeah. You're guilty, yeah. We love you anyway, brother. Hallelujah. Let me read this. True story. Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was apparent they wouldn't make it. Terrified, one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. Put up a prayer. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion. "The bull is gaining on us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh, Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful." Can you say that? I had to get your email. You know where we're going now. This is supposed to be a true story, too. A DEA officer stopped at a ranch in Texas, talked with the old rancher. He told the rancher, "I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs." The rancher said, "Okay, but don't go in that field over there." And he pointed out a location. The DEA officer verbally exploded, saying, "Mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me." Reaching into his rear pants pocket, he removed his badge, proudly displayed it to the rancher. "See this badge? This badge means I'm allowed to go wherever I wish, on any land. No questions asked or answers given. Have I made myself clear? Do you understand?" The rancher nodded politely, apologized, went about his chores. Short time later, the old rancher heard loud screams and looked up and saw the DEA officer running for his life, being chased by the rancher's big Santa Gertrudis bull. Got a picture of him here. Amen. He's big and he's bad. With every step, the bull was gaining ground on the officer. It seemed likely that he'd sure enough get gored before he reached safety. The officer was clearly terrified. The rancher threw down his tools, ran to the fence, and yelled to the top of his lungs, "Show him your badge! Show him your badge!" I like that. Thank you for sending that. Hallelujah. In most Pentecostal circles, we hear about our badge of authority. There's so much emphasis on the believer's authority over demons, devils, and circumstances, but not a lot of emphasis on Christ's authority over us. Can you say amen? When we come to the foot of the cross, we don't show our badge of authority. We bow to his authority. And we do it because he's hanging there, taking our sin and our shame. And I love him for doing that. And I want to serve him the way he wants to. I don't want to just not go out on my wife. I want to stay in love with my wife. Amen. So that I don't desire to go out on her. Amen. Because I want what we had in the beginning of our marriage to take us all the way through to the end. Amen. They got into such hyper faith, and I got to close, which means nothing, but y'all understand I'm trying. Amen. Listen. People didn't even want those vows, traditional vows, because they said they didn't want, you know, we don't want to talk about for better, for worse, or death, or sickness, or none of that. Honey, I am so glad this woman has been with me for better, for worse. Because sometimes it was worse. A lot of times. Amen. Our honeymoon started off worse. Where'd you go to your honeymoon? My uncle's trailer. And Pamela waited. She was so sweet. She waited and waited and waited and waited. And she started looking in closets in this little 32-foot trailer of my uncle's where we're going to spend our honeymoon. Only place we'd go away from family and kids and stuff around. And she's waiting. And I know she's looking in these doors where there's nothing in there but brooms or something, a little broom closet. Finally, she says, "Honey, where's the bathroom?" I said, "It's out there. It was a real outhouse. We had the real deal sitting out back." Amen. This is a honeymoon. Isn't it a great honeymoon? Amen. You stay. That's it. What did he say? What did he say? Nothing but the finest. Yeah. Yeah, for a 50th anniversary, we're going to Mickey D's, and I'm going to tell them to supersize everything. Because nothing is too good for my woman. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, we would have been happy to go to McDonald's or do something like that. We cooked vegetables from my ag garden. We didn't even have any meat. All we had was green beans and potatoes and green onions from my agriculture garden. No seasoning. We didn't have no salt and pepper to put on. Amen. But we were together. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, we commit ourselves because there is a love like that. And God said, "I don't want you to just obey me. I want you to be filled with gratitude. I want you to love me back for loving you." Jesse Dixon just went to be with the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard him sing. He's a black gospel artist, and he just went to be with the Lord. And I remember going through the Blue Ridge Parkway, and we had a cassette tape in on one of our vacations many, many years ago. Jesse Dixon was singing, "How can you not love him back? How can you not love him back?" He's singing about the grace of God, what Jesus did for us at Calvary, and then challenging Christians. How can you not love him back for loving you that much? And that pricked my heart, and I said, "Lord, I don't want to ever fall out of love with you. I don't want to ever serve you for some other reason that is less than showing gratitude for what you've done for me at Calvary." And when we serve him with gladness of heart, we want to obey him. And when we obey him from the heart, these blessings come on us. And somehow God's going to find a way to bless you. Can you say amen? He will find a way. Whether you're in the city or in the field. Hallelujah. He'll make you the head and not the tail. And I don't know about your financial situation, but I know about mine. I need this blessing. Everybody that don't want it, say, "Give it to the preacher. He really needs it." I hear no one saying that today. Can you say amen? Not a person in this room. I need that blessing. Everybody say, "I need that blessing." And it's not just the help in life and the monetary blessing. It's having the Lord's favor. The blessing of the Lord, his favor, maketh rich. Because that means you don't need a full meal barrel to make it. A blessed one will take you through the famine. Can you say amen? Every time you dip out, God dips in. You never have it full, but you never can empty it. And you make it through life because God is with you, keeping his promise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is what we're coming to, and it's time for Holy Communion. And I pray that you'll serve us today, and we'll get ready to receive of the Lord with grateful hearts, walking out of here with an attitude of gratitude and a life of obedience to God to say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Would you serve us communion? And brother, we'll just put on whatever you want to right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you for your goodness, your precious mercies, Lord. Hallelujah. They're new every morning. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. If there's any sin, anything that you need to confess, just do it now. Don't let anything keep you from this service. Receiving unworthily doesn't mean that you're worthy. You can't be worthy. I could never be worthy of what he's given us. It's by grace. It's by mercy. But the reverence that is due for that grace and mercy God requires from our hearts right now. Let him cleanse every sin of omission and commission and give him your life once and for all. Surrender your will unto him. Serve him with gladness, all ye lands. The same night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." you may eat the bread. The same manner he picked up the cup and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for the sins of many. Every time you do this, you show or openly proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Do this and remember me and love me back. You may drink the cup. Now, how many can say thank you, Jesus, before we leave here today? Now, we began with praise. We've had praise interlaced through this service, and we're going to leave here with praise because God is a God that enjoys our praises. Hallelujah. And how many, again, here has the sun set free? Let me see you, because we're going to fellowship on this song on our way out. Wave at me if God has set you free from your past, from your sin. Hallelujah. Well, I want to sing with those prisoners as we go home down in Angola prison and in Mississippi or Louisiana. This is how it feels to be free. Praise God. Are you ready to fellowship before we go home? Hallelujah. All right. You can stand to your feet. Praise God. Thank you for coming and sharing Holy Communion with us. Amen. And shake somebody's hand before you leave. Hug their neck and let them know that you appreciate, amen, them as your brother and sister in Jesus Christ today. Anyone here that needs prayer, you can come. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. And you're not just... Amen. All right. This man is on leave from the VA hospital, and you're under treatment right now? Chemotherapy? Yeah. All right. Some brethren come, and we're gonna pray for freedom. Listen, if you're cancer-free today, and God has forgiven your sin, give him thanks. Don't let anything get in the way of what God has done for you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in me. Forget not all of his benefits, who stands ready to forgive all of our iniquities and sins, who healeth secondarily all of our diseases. Hallelujah. Who renews our youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. Father, you're so good today. This man doesn't want to be lost. Lord, he wants to go to heaven. Father, and he needs your help right now in his life as well. But first and foremost, he's not asking for help with his body. He's asking for his soul. So, Father, we know this is the prayer. This is the paramount prayer that can ever be prayed, and this is the greatest miracle that can ever be granted, is the miracle of salvation. This man comes with an open, repentant heart today. And, Father, I join with him right now as he receives you as his Lord and personal Savior. I thank you, Lord, for his repentant heart. Father, it didn't begin just now. It started before now. It started as your Spirit began to work with him and draw him and deal with him. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will bless him, Lord, because he bows to you, he yields to you, he looks to you today. And Lord, I'm going to ask for you to not only forgive his sin and save his soul and join with him in repentance, but Lord, I join with him in faith in you to help him and to heal him and to lift him up and to make his life a testimony in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. He's one of those men that he knows all about church and he knows all about religion and he knows what you did on the cross, but today he's embracing it, Lord, and making it his very own. Wash him in the blood and seal him with your Spirit in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Father, we praise you. Just ask him to from your heart right now. Just ask him. That's it. That's it. Right from your heart. He's listening. He's hearing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a gracious God that we serve. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mark this day, Lord. Mark this day in his heart and his life when everything changes and everything turns around. Let your blessings now rest on him. In Jesus' name, when he goes out and when he comes in, for the glory of God. And everyone said amen and amen. Praise God. This is how it feels to be free. Hallelujah. Brother, let's rejoice as we go home today. Shake somebody's hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good today. And He's worthy. Yeah, bring that right up so we can hear it, brother. Glory to God.
There's a wall that has been standing since the day that Adam fell. Sin is where it started. Sin is why it held. Speaking as a prisoner who was there and lived to tell, I remember how it fell. I could hear the sound of freedom, yeah. Like a distant voice it called and beckoned me to follow, for I had never gone. Though my heart was willing, I just stood there at the wall, praying somehow it would fall. But in the cross I found the doorway and a hand that held the keys. When the chain fell at my feet, for the first time I could see. This is how it feels to be free. This is what it means to know that I am forgiven. This is how it feels to be free. To see that life can be more than I imagined. This is how it feels to be free. Yeah. This is how it feels to be free. Yeah. There are days when I'm reminded of the prison I was in, like a living nightmare burning deep within. I can feel the voice of evil, I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again. You see, once I tasted freedom and the chains could bind no more,
the
mercy gave me wings of eyes, and like an eagle I can soar.
That's how it feels right there. Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah.